Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough already. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
3-1 to Ohtani. The pitch swung on and drilled.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host David Sampson.
Stephon Diggs traded.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
From Buffalo to the Houston Texans.
What the hell going on?
Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg. Coming up, USL Executive Vice President of Football Operations Daryl Johnson. Senior writer for The Athletic, Andrew Marchand. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's David Sampson.
Welcome back. Yes, I'm sitting in for the Rich Eisen Show. Thank you. I've been welcomed so warmly. An unbelievable studio.
There's only four of us here.
Green room. There were two bottles of water. One was half empty. I thought that was great. Almost like it was brand new. That was terrific. Thank you.
We hit the water the plant with that. Sorry.
Oh, that's my mistake. Yeah. I thought it was for drinking.
Well, it is after the plant
after
gets
the plant. Yeah. We got to take care of the plants.
And I assume you didn't think I'd be on time because you gave me a time to get here when there was not one light on. Everybody was, there was no one here. I was alone.
Energy efficient. It's California.
Yeah, California.
I just assumed that you thought I'd be late.
We're in a drought.
Well, the last we heard from you last night, David Sampson, you were sitting on the tarmac 3,000 miles away.
Yeah, we didn't even know if you were going
to
be here.
So, to be quite honest, we didn't know if we'd have a host today, to be quite frank with you. My bet was you weren't going to make it.
So, I had a talk with the pilot.
You got to pay up, TJ. I won that bet.
Oh, that's true.
And I said, listen here. Captain.
Was his name Sully?
It was a woman who was outstanding during this delay. A very experienced, accomplished pilot.
Did you say like 4 hours or something you were
delayed? Tarmac for 4 hours. Oh. But the reason I had to come, there was going to be such news to talk about. And plus, if you can do nothing personal at 5 a.m. like I did, how can you pass that opportunity up? I love traveling west. I think we finally, is Andrew here?
Yes.
Andrew, how are you? It's David Sampson.
I'm well. How are you? Hey, David. How are you doing, man? I'm doing well. Thanks.
It's got to be a busy day for you. I'm very thankful that you are joining us because the article that you dropped about what's happening with college sports tomorrow, I led nothing personal with it this morning, but we wanted to talk in detail, more detail with you right now about it because I think people are underselling how epic this is that a bunch of guys have gotten together thinking they can replace the NCAA, but they only want to do it for football. And I'm not sure that there's a lot of focus on the fact that this announcement. So please tell the audience about the announcement or what you discovered in this piece.
Yeah, so there's a group that I first heard about during Super Bowl, led by Len Perna, who runs Turnkey, which basically recommends all the conference commissioners and other jobs around college sports. And then also Brian Rolapp was involved. So Rolapp's name is important because he's the number two at the NFL. If Roger Goodell were ever to retire, Rolapp would be at the top of the list to possibly replace him. He's also the mastermind behind all their TV deals that add up to $110 billion. So, that gets people's attention. And so they're working with presidents. We spoke to the president of West Virginia, president of Syracuse. They talked about how the current system is dead. And so the big thing that's going on that, in our reporting that, I knew about but kind of became even clearer are the lawsuits that the universities are facing in terms of NIL when you go back and the amount of money they could owe. There's likely going to be a settlement. But a lot of people have talked about, a word that starts with a B, as in boy, as in billions. And so if that happens, then, we know there's going to be a shakeup in college football, but how is it going to play out? And this group have a lot of influential leaders in sports. They are trying to to put together a plan and have put together a plan and are continuing to work on a plan that they think would be the best way forward for all the FBS teams, which are 130 teams right now, plus 130 plus teams.
Yeah, you say best way forward and I say relegation. And that may be tomato, tomato, but we can debate relegation and promotion. But what their plan is, what some of the commissioners of the Power Five conferences have wanted, which is basically, we'll take a bye. And I don't mean a bye to the CFP. I mean a bye that we can never be relegated. We'll always be in the top 70. And then we'll let the lesser FBS schools fight it out in the eighth division. And we'll do promotion relegation from there. And that's an interesting way of putting a committee together and just saying, all right, Tony Petitti, you guys have the power and we're going to give you even more of it. And I'm wondering, when in your reporting, how do you feel about relegation? Because in North America, we've never seen it. And I'm not sure with TV deals that it could ever actually happen. Where is your head on that?
I think their plan that they have actually makes a lot of sense when you're being realistic. You know, if you look at it, so the way it would set up is that there would be a top division made up of eight divisions within it and 10 teams each. So that adds up to 80. There'd be 70 teams, like you mentioned, that are permanent. And so you have the 68 that were in the former Power Five, counting the Pac-12, and then Notre Dame, and then probably SMU. And then the rest of the teams would be in the second division with 10 spots reserved for them in the top division, and they'd be able to fight to get into that, and then you get promoted, and then if you were to finish at the bottom of the standings, you'd move down, which, you know, we look at European football, creates a lot of excitement for those teams. I think I understand what you're saying. It should be an even playing field, but if you're Alabama, Notre Dame, or any of the top programs, it's just not, I don't think that's realistic to say, okay, even though you probably wouldn't ever be in jeopardy, you'd want that guaranteed. You couldn't take that chance. That's why, you know, this is patterned in some regards after MLS, which the way MLS ownership works is you own a percentage of the league. You don't own a team, which makes it so they work as one entity. And that's why this makes sense. In MLS, what, as a soccer person who loves soccer, I mean, what hurts MLS is they don't have relegation and promotion because people spend so much money to get these teams and they don't want to take the chance like that happens in Europe. And you could spend a lot of money and then have a top team or club get relegated. So I hear your point, but I just think that if you're being realistic, you're never going to really get these top programs to agree to anything like that.
My concern is that the teams that get relegated, the impact would be on non-football sports because there is a financial implication to being relegated. And if there's not, then it's not actually relegation. So I assume part of the plan includes
the loss of
money.
But it wouldn't be an equal playing field. Yeah, but it wouldn't be equal. Like Alabama and Notre Dame in this plan would make more money than other schools. And they based it on a formula that they're putting together in terms of your ratings, in terms of a bunch of factors. And I think you have to have it that way because if they were going to work. And something that really needs to be pointed out is that the power right now and the people who probably are going to make the decisions are the SEC with Greg Sankey, the Big Ten with Tony Petitti, and both of those men are the commissioners of those conferences, and then the networks, especially Fox and ESPN, because they have the power. They have long-term deals for billions of dollars. And so as you go forward, they're the ones also with the best teams. So they could actually kind of do what they want, and they already have an alliance that they're looking at, it an advisory alliance, you know, where they're working together. Now, obviously, that could lead to, and a lot of people pointed to, the SEC and the Big Ten kind of creating an AFC and NFC. I think the danger for that, in my opinion, is that you might kill the rest of college football. And do you really want to be the ones to do that? I don't know. That would be a little too greedy in my eyes. And so how do you go forward? How do you include everybody? And I understand what you're saying in terms of the financial implications. I mean, obviously, that's something they're going to have to figure out if you could go up or down. But I also think, you know, football is different than other sports. You can't really have a Cinderella in football to go all the way and win a championship. It's just not realistic just to how the game is played, the power, the strength, and the speed that the top players have as compared to the lower players. And so I don't think it's, I think you would create with this a system where there would be something to play for at every level, and that interest throughout the sport for the whole year would be maintained. Now, the other problem, I think, with the plan, though, is the idea that it would create so much more television value, that they get so much more money. I don't know. I don't see that. Maybe I do think it's a better plan than the hodgepodge kind of that we have now with all the different conferences and the games at different times. But I don't know if you're going from 3 million people watching to 9 million people watching. I don't see that 3x difference, because I just think there's only so many great matchups, even if right. you have a better system.
Super leagues have been talked about for a long time. They tried one in EPL, and it lasted about an hour and a half, I believe, is shorter than even this show for all the people who miss Rich so badly. That's how long the Super League lasted over in the EPL. The in baseball, they tried that. George Steinbrenner, I mean, Andrew, we've talked. Steinbrenner, the Yankees and Red Sox have often said, why would we give revenue sharing to low revenue teams? We don't want to share. And our answer was, fine, then don't play us. Just keep playing yourselves on ESPN Sunday night and do that 160 times. And sometimes, like when we beat him in the World Series, he would say, we'd prefer to do that. And the problem with the college plan, as I read it and thought about it, since reading your great article on The Athletic that everyone should go to and read in great detail about this group of people in college sports tomorrow really creating a Super League, the more I thought about it, Andrew, and I'm trying to work through an answer for me and the audience, is I don't understand how the worst team of the 70 could be worse than the best team of the 10, and yet they're protected. So I'm not talking Alabama or Notre Dame. I'm talking about the lower echelon of the 70 who gets brought into the protected zone, who could in theory be worse teams than the bottom 10.
No, that's a fair point, but I guess you have to have a cutoff at some place. And also, I just think you have to have buy-in, right? Because you do have this legacy situation. You know, I covered baseball for a long time. You were in baseball for a long time. So we kind of understand the financials. Now, you're telling from the Marlins' point of view, and having covered the Yankees, having covered the Mets, you know, I understand their point of view as well. Like, if you look at what's happening in regional sports networks in the future, so around the country, there's a lot of teams that they're, because of cables and the unbundling people and cutting the cord that people are doing, the cable deals are in question. But I don't think so Major League Baseball ideally would love to pool all the rights together and sell them as one entity. But teams like the Yankees are not going to want to do that because they're way more popular. They have successful cable networks still, and they're making way more money. And so they don't feel the need to do that. That's why the NFL structure works, because everyone, even though, you know, in recent years with the Jerry Jones, et cetera, it's changed a little bit. But overall, everyone gets an equal piece of the pie, which works in the NFL. It's also the structure of the season and a lot of factors. And so this group is called College Sports Tomorrow is trying to do is figure out, well, how to best do that. But you do have to be realistic. It's not you can't just be idealistic, because there is, pre-existing, universities, and there's pre-existing value. But yeah, your point is well taken, in terms of if you're talking about those final 10 to 15 teams in that 70, why are they protected and team 71 is not protected? I guess the argument would be made that team 71 and, 71 through 80, they would be in that first group, and they can maintain and stay in there, as long as, they're successful.
Actually, because they could be more successful than the bottom of the 70 and still one of them would get relegated because the top 70 are protected. If you look at the rankings, it's possible that teams 71 through 80 would be ranked between 50 and 60, and the teams between 60 and 70 should be ranked between 70 and 80, but they'd be protected. Now, that's a scenario that's unlikely, but it's not impossible. But it's not even what I took the most umbrage with, Andrew. Why did they call it? Did they answer this question? Maybe Blitzer did. Why it's called College Sports Tomorrow? Why isn't it called College Football Tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get into this fully because you can't get into every point in a story. But they're tackling football for – I think we did mention it, actually. they're tackling football first, and then they'll move to the other sports. And their feeling is that you got to get football right. It's the most, it's the biggest revenue driver, and then you can move on to the other sports. And they think that this would fuel being able to support everything, because it gets really thorny. We didn't fully even get into Title IX and the lawsuits that could come from that, you know, which are other factors when you really get deep into the stuff and trying to figure out everything, and the, you know, and to be equitable for non-revenue sports, creating sports. And so, yeah, they're starting with football, but it's not an endpoint. But I do think when you look at football and then basketball, and you compare it to the other, those other sports, the rest of the sports, in terms of their financials and their popularity, especially on TV, it's different than you know, than other competitions.
Well, when you do, when they start the college basketball tomorrow, it's going to be different conferences at the table. I don't think that Tony Petitti, who of course you know I worked with for so many years in baseball, I think it's sort of a different story. Wouldn't ACC? I may be wrong here, Chris, but wouldn't it be different conferences at the table when they start dealing with basketball versus football?
Well, the ACC would be more prominently involved, right, Andrew? But it's still the Big Ten.
But you see, the thing I would say is that the way, and this is why, like, the conference commissioners have the most power, is that what they're doing with college sports tomorrow is taking out, it's not lumping Alabama and Vanderbilt together. Right, which are different, even though they're both in the SEC. Alabama is a perennial national championship contender, one of the biggest brands, popular for people around the country to watch. Vanderbilt's an amazing university, hasn't been as good at football, but they're in the same. So when Greg Sankey represents them, he's representing them all. So in your scenario, when you're looking at if they were to do college basketball tomorrow, then you would take North Carolina and Duke out, and you know, who, you know, whoever the bottom feeders of the ACC are, wouldn't be considered as valuable or, you know, treated in the same way as UNC and Duke, which, you know, I would guess are, if not the two most valuable programs when you look at it from a TV point of view, then at least in the top five of those. And so that's how, like, you know, that's their also feeling, is that they're not directly involved. Like, the other issue is, like, when you talk about the commissioners, and, you know, are they going to want to make a system where there's no SEC and then they don't have, they're not heading up football? I doubt it. Right. And so, like, how do you get to that? I think if you're starting from scratch, what college sports tomorrow lays out makes a lot of sense. The problem is you're not starting from scratch. There's contracts that exist. There are teams with value that are way more than other teams. And so it gets complicated. And the other big thing is the union aspect of it. You know, this system that they're creating or trying to create goes on the assumption that the Players Association, there is a Players Association in college sports, and that you would negotiate with them, which gets around antitrust issues that are just never going to go away until they have a plan, because there's different rules in different states and it's very complicated. And so that's one thing that is, like, I would say this, like, our story to me, and this is, like, kind of the thing that we were talking about, like, and hopefully it is, and I'm not saying it is or isn't, but this is going to be an issue that people, college football fans and college athletic fans, have to understand, that is going to be with the sport over the next decade. And hopefully this is sort of a primer of, like, a definitive article of, like, what's ahead, and not necessarily that this will happen, but I do think some of these ideas could survive. I don't know if this group will win out, but I do think that this is happening. It's just how and when and timetables that we don't know. But all this stuff in there, it's going to happen. Maybe not the Super League, but there is going to be a change in terms of how players are compensated, which we've already seen, but more official. And there's going to be decisions that have to be made. And I do think that the university presidents from West Virginia, from Syracuse, do have a very good point to say you want to be out in front of the issue to try to create a system that works. Now, the counterpoint is West Virginia and Syracuse, you may want to be in front of it, but it's going to be Alabama, Michigan, Notre Dame who are going to be really deciding.
Yeah, Andrew, this is why Nick Saban retired, right? He didn't want to deal with all this.
Yeah, I think in part. Yeah, and I think, you know, look, I think there's a lot of factions involved in this.
Jim Harbaugh, too, back in the NFL. Like, why would they want to deal with
He was also in trouble. to be fair.
Maybe.
Every other day.
Maybe. But there is something to that, right?
100%. Like, the system right now is too unwieldy. You know, not for players. Like, you know, I think I would argue that if a coach can change and coach the next year, I don't see why a player or student athlete can't leave and then go play someplace else. That makes sense. Like, I don't,
right.
If you're really looking at it from the athlete point of view, not from a selfish fan point of view and who we want to root for and we want our players on our team as if, you know, it is professional sports. And it is in somewhat kind of like professional sports.
Non-athlete students can change colleges and transfer as exactly. much as they want. So, yeah.
Exactly. So why should they be different? So that's why, you know, you need something to figure out a system, though, where it makes sense for everybody. And so right now it doesn't. Like, it's just the Wild West. And, you know, this is a lot of, you know, things are changing. But in these court, the other big thing is these court cases that are coming up. And, you know, in our reporting, you know, I understood it before, but I really understood it even more of what could happen if they owe all this money. You know, that is what is going to, you know, put a big monkey wrench into everything, where solutions are going to have to be decided and come up and, you know, and
you know, and Andrew, it's not a guarantee also that they're going to be unionized. We said that, but I want to make sure that we're clear. While Dartmouth had the right to form a union, there's an appeal that will be heard before the NLRB, and it's going to be years. So I want to make sure that people are clear that this sort of Super League concept, college sports tomorrow, tomorrow is the operative word, and you can read more about it on The Athletic. We've been speaking to Andrew Marchand, who's digging deep in a story that you're going to get to write about this. I would assume you're looking at the next 5 to 8 years, so I hope you have a long-term deal with The Athletic, because I don't for any reason believe that the solution that we're reading about now actually works on every level. So I think they're going to have to do more work, which means you're going to get to write more columns that are fascinating.
I have a 10-year contract.
Perfect. That sounds about right to me. Especially because the president of West Virginia is quoted in your article as saying it's an existential crisis. I like when people drop existential crisis because they got to figure out how to deal with relegation and promotion.
Yeah, nobody should have a 10-year contract, and I don't either, just to officially.
Oh, I thought we were breaking news. I just got a text from Jason Stark, who's watching the show, saying, 10 years for Andy? What is going on here? Do you want us to edit that out? Let's just make it 7 years.
There you go.
We're going to take care of this issue in 7 years. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. The Athletic senior writer. If you don't have a subscription to The Athletic, you should. Agreed. Unbelievable reporting on all sorts of different sports. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I mean, the future of college sports is...
We've had two guests today.
I mean, Magic 8-Ball, just shake it. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Well, we got one right next to the desk there, David.
That's true. There is a Magic 8-Ball
right down somewhere.
Ask if you find it. Uh-oh. Maybe we'll find it in the break.
Can
I read the text from Rich?
Sure.
Don't touch my stuff. Hold on. Sorry.
He did not text you.
Ask the Magic 8-Ball what the future of college sports is.
How long is Andrew's contract? Hold on.
I think you have to ask it a yes or no question.
Yeah.
I need the readers.
I forget how much. Isn't that amazing?
Is college football. Yeah. How about this? Will I be here tomorrow?
There you go.
Oh, signs point to yes.
Take care.
Yeah, we had a great run. An hour and a half run.
It was a great run. We're going to keep going, though. We'll be right back.
Might as well.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there's the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast-scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter, who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark. Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, Rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the rotor, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Put your hands together for the most recent Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray, of Oklahoma. Where is that trophy right now?
I sleep next to it.
It's on your nightstand?
Yeah.
So it's good morning Heisman every day?
Yeah, tight.
Seriously, it's right there next to, like, there's a night table next to Kyler Murray's bed and the Heisman Trophy is resting
there. Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you've had it in your arms, like you've been spooning with it by accident?
No, there's no spooning.
There's no Heisman spooning? No. By the way, I would absolutely spoon with the Heisman if I won the Heisman.
Now taking part in the Rich Eisen Show Throw Challenge, Kyler Murray, is this the first NFL Duke ball that you have thrown? That's an NFL. Oh, my God. You won't even answer that.
Wow.
Go for it, Kyler. Go for it. That's one. That's one, here we go. That's two. Kyler Murray, everybody. That's three. By the way, that's four. Those are all Duke NFL footballs. Just wanted everyone to know that.
First overall pick. First overall pick.
That's four. That's five.
Wow.
These are the footballs Kurt Warner complained about. That's six. That's seven.
Whoa.
That's it. Oh, my goodness. Here, let's get some.
Oh, no.
Here we go. Keep going.
I'm off.
You got one more?
Hold on, this is getting bad.
Here we go. No, yeah, it's getting bad. Yeah. You got seven for first seven. Good enough. Seven out of ten. Yeah. Kyler Murray. Good to see you, man. Appreciate it. Congratulations, he won the Heisman and it seems the Rich Eisen throwing contest in the same year. That's a first. No one could ever take that away from you.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I am David Sampson, and I am sitting right now at the Rich Eisen Show desk. Yes, I am. Furnished by Grainger, which is quite cool. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click, Grainger.com. Just stop by. And you can sit at the Rich Eisen show desk.
Like,
if you want. People do.
Could come in and sit there, like, when we're not here?
That's true.
I assume they have the same bona fide as I do to sit here for 2 days. Anyone can come?
I don't think so.
Remember when Game of Thrones was going on and they were literally, like, bringing the throne around? And
yeah.
People could just sit, take pictures in it. And
yeah,
sit
you and I,
it.
We took pictures.
Yeah, we did it.
There.
It was cool. That's basically what the desk is.
I mean, we are adding value to Grainger as they add value to us.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about the visit yesterday that Caleb Williams had with Chicago. It's not a big deal when you go to a dinner and you know you're the number one pick.
I mean, yeah.
And you know they're taking
yeah.
you. So that's sort of a, you go right to dessert. That's the date where there's no sort of cocktails.
There's no dinner.
There's no dinner. It's right to check, please.
The tiramisu.
That's how I imagined.
Right to the tiramisu.
It's
that's what I'm going for.
Right.
I'm going
and
right.
Believe me, there'll be a lot of tiramisu, a lot of tears in Chicago if they don't take Caleb Williams. I would assume that's not one of Brockman's burning questions.
No, it's not. But Dave, before I get to the burning questions, I do want to ask you, in your days as an executive, and you took like a free agent or maybe your first round pick that you were kind of courting or whatever. And did they go nuts ordering? Like, did they order the Screaming Eagle and the Tomahawk and like
the Wagyu?
And if they did, would you be like, huh, red flag?
Brockman, are you saying were they like Vince and Entourage where he and he went out with Scott Wick to Mastro's and
right.
he realized he wasn't going to get the movie, so,
so
he just ordered
went nuts.
Extra steaks
that's
from
what I mean.
Turtle and Drama?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much in the movies. All the dinners.
Is that a thing in sports with,
so,
with execs?
Can we go a little inside baseball?
Yes.
Inside
free agency? I live inside baseball.
All of the times when they put the name on the board, like when someone's visiting Wrigley Field, welcome to Chicago, where they do the video. Let's do a video where we can try to convince the free agent to sign with us. We're going to take him to the best restaurant
like Jesus
ever.
Shuttlesworth, the big state.
Eyewash.
Big state. Nothing.
All of it.
Come
it
on.
Doesn't matter.
But what about dinner?
So the dinner also doesn't matter. Here's what we do at dinner. They ask us a question. Hey, how's your school system? How's your minor league system? And they're sort of laughing.
Yep.
And we say, oh, listen, we're so excited you're here. We can't wait to have you as part of this organization. And we're sort of laughing. And the reason why we're both laughing is that what's going on at the other side of the table, because they're always at the table, is the agent and the GM. And they're playing footsie under the table, deciding whether it's going to be 6 years or 7 years, deciding whether we're going to get to 15 million AAV or 25 or whatever the number is. Mm-hmm. And the menu or the choice of restaurant never comes into play. But sometimes we make more effort than others. We flew to the Dominican to try to sign Cespedes.
Okay.
And we took him out. And then Oakland, ironically, the Oakland A's, who are in the news today for moving to Sacramento on a temporary basis, 3 years temporary, they came in and signed Cespedes, and we never got a chance to counter or go above what Oakland offered.
Would you have?
I want to say we were at maybe 12, 13, some crazy. He got 21, I believe, from Oakland.
It
was a huge, huge amount. Yeah. And this was before there were slots. And I love slots. It's like having a cap in an uncapped sport. Slots are you can only spend X amount of money on all your international signs. Okay. And those are people you don't get in the draft. You asked if we had dinner with draft picks.
Yeah.
They're 18 years old. So no.
No?
Dairy Queen? Maybe.
Dairy Queen.
Cold Stone Creamery.
A little Dairy Queen.
Cold Stone is high class ice cream.
If they're heating up that ice cream and putting it in the
cabinet, prime pizza. I just want to know, like, Peter slices. Schrager had the dinner report, and I'm just like, what did he order?
Like, what did he, I mean, if I'm out, Dave, I'm being honest.
Like, if the Bears are taking you to dinner, Mike, are you going nuts?
Yeah, I'm going crazy. I'm like, you're taking me out. I may not, like, mind you, you know you're getting signed
He's
by
getting
them.
Picked by them anyway.
You know it. So it's like, yeah, go for what you're looking at the menu. Oh, what's that most expensive steak?
When you go out with your employer, when Rich takes you out, which I'm sure he does once a week when he takes you to dinner, do you order? Here's what I was taught by my fantastic mother. You go middle of the menu.
Middle of the menu.
Yeah.
That's a very simple rule. Joking.
Yeah, good rule.
Well, David, if it was once a week, then perhaps it would be middle of the menu.
Once a year at the Super Bowl.
So you take advantage. He takes you out once a year, and you go top of the menu?
No. Yeah, that's where those tiger prawns for 30.
We get the seafood tower?
Or the one that says MP.
Market price.
That's what you look for, the MP.
We did a lot of damage the last two times we went out to dinner.
All right, yeah, the draft is here. Burning questions. Let's go.
Brockman's burning questions.
That's a pie. I love it. All right. The NFL draft. These are my burning questions. Top 10 burning questions heading into the NFL draft. It's all going to be first round related. Number 10. Are the Jets a serious team or not? That's what I want to know. Are they serious?
Okay? When is the last time they've been serious?
I don't know. They tried last year.
Oh. Hang on, people.
This was your moment.
Serious people.
Are they serious? What are they going to do? Are they going to take a lineman so Aaron Rodgers lasts longer than four plays? That's what I want to know. They've got all the weapons. They did a great job, you know, acquiring guys this offseason. Are they serious or not?
Taking the over on four plays? Be careful what you say here.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so.
Because that assumes he's back.
I guess kind of
healthy.
Have to.
And has the offensive line that will protect him for five plays.
Do you think he plays a full season? Does he play 17 games?
Under no circumstances.
Ooh.
I'm happy to go on record and take the under of 17 games.
Wow, interesting. Number 9, TJ, this guy was the talk of the combine. He set the 40 record, 4.21, which is about what Rich runs for about a 30, I think. Is Xavier Worthy going to go in the first round? Because mock drafts have him, you know, kind of dancing the line between end of the first, top of the second. But I really think the new kickoff rule, somebody's going to take him at the end of the first round because you throw this guy back there. How many kickoff returns could he have next year for touchdowns? We only saw four all of last year. Rich thinks that number is going to be multiplied by 3, 4, 5 maybe with this new rule. Let's see the speed on display.
I can't believe that burns you more than the Jets, but we can talk about the order at a later moment. I do not think that a kick returner, as much as there could be more action, which is what the NFL wants, they want more action, fewer concussions.
Right.
Normally that doesn't go together.
It's not an equation. No.
Changing the rules now by having them line up, it's going to look really funny from the drone footage. The first time there's a kickoff when everyone's lined up gladiator style.
That is going to be cool.
10 yards apart and you can't get a running head start. So it's not the 4-3-1 that will be impressive anymore. It's the how quickly you can get underway speed.
Yeah.
That's going to be an important skill that I don't know if they measure.
I think this kid's got it. We'll see where he ends up. Number 8, kind of similar to Xavier Worthy's position. How many wide receivers are going to go in the first round? We hear this is a loaded wide receiver draft. A lot of teams need one. We're going to talk about a team here in a second that just traded a guy away. They need a wide receiver. How many of these guys are going to go? We know who the top three are. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. It's Malik Nabers. It's Roma Dunze. And then after that, how many are going to go? Because I feel like this is going to be a deep position anyway. So we'll see if teams are willing to spend a first round pick on them.
You'd have to believe the Bills could be in the market.
Oh, David, don't just slow down a second.
Well, I didn't get the list.
Just slow down. Just slow down. We'll get to that in a minute. Number 7. We know the Bears. We know they're taking first, Mike.
Caleb
Williams and his full Wagyu steak belly and red wine and dessert with his pink phone going first. Okay. What are they going to do at 9, TJ? What are they going to do at 9? Okay. Do they take a lineman to protect him?
I would say so.
Yeah.
You know, they've loaded up a wide receiver. They got Keenan Allen to go with DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. And they got DeAndre Swift. But do they take Roma Dunze at 9?
That's what I'm saying. That's what it looks like.
Brock Bowers at 9? What are they going to do? What are the Bears going to do at 9? I'm kind of fascinated by that. I know Bears fans are as well. Number 6.
Quick answer real quick. You got to protect your investment, right?
Trade number 9? Why isn't that one of the options? Oh.
Could be an option.
Ooh. Okay.
All I have is what are they going to do at 9? They could trade.
I just want to present that as...
Well done.
You never know.
Thank you, Dave. You're an executive. That's obviously
I'm here for you, Chris.
That's obviously an option. Number 6, Dave, this is for you. Do the Bills get their replacement for Stephon Diggs? Now, the Bills are at 28. I don't know if you're getting the cream of the crop wide receiver at 28. You're going to get a first-round talent. Mike, you didn't like that one? You didn't like that one?
I didn't like that one. That's why. Like that one? I went, no.
Do they package and move up to get somebody in the top 15 at wide receiver?
They can take the haul they got from the Texans, move that along.
The haul, such one pick, their second-round pick next year. It's not even a pick this year. Woof. The hell going on, Mike?
Exactly.
The hell going on.
They're getting better.
They're getting better. Number 5, and I put this at number 5, because they have the 5th pick. What is that loony bin Harbaugh going to do? Jim Harbaugh is back in the NFL. He's with the Chargers. Mm-hmm. They have no wide receivers. They don't have anybody.
Let's see who they
are. TJ's playing wide receiver next year.
I got hands.
What are they going to do at number 5? Now, look, if you think quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3, 4, which a lot of people think is a possibility if Arizona trades out, they basically start this draft. Now, do they take a tackle? Do they trade down? Do they take Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers? I'm fascinated by what the Chargers do.
How much pressure do you think that Harbaugh has coming back to the NFL? Win now versus take advantage of Justin? Or, hey, I'm here. Like, college is in the rearview mirror. I'm going to take a bit of a longer-term approach here. I don't think that we have a window right now, so I don't want to force it. Big discussion that would have to happen prior to him taking that job is the expectation that we're all in, so to speak, or am I able to show a little patience?
I think it's a 100% certainty he has a much longer leash than Brandon Staley got.
Absolutely.
So do you.
10-year contract. I've been here 10 years, Dave, so
that's true.
I'm good so far. Number 4, who's going to trade up for a quarterback? Who is going to trade up for a quarterback? Because we know somebody's going to do it. Is it the Giants at 6? Is it the Vikings at 11? Because, you know, they also got another first round, 11 and 23. They acquired that second first rounder. People think they're going to package up and move up. Do the Broncos move up at 12? Do the Raiders move up at 13? Somebody's moving up to get somebody. I don't know.
Can we write that down? I want to make sure we clip that.
That is a fact.
Somebody's moving up to get somebody.
Well, I was looking to see what I had next.
What if it's Pittsburgh?
I wanted to
wasn't that a Doobie Brothers song back in like 79?
China Grove.
That was the B-side to China Grove. Somebody.
How great would it be if the Steelers were the team?
To move up for a quarterback?
That moved up for a quarterback. As the ultimate sort of...
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Oh, to Russell.
I think Steeler Nation's heads would explode.
Right?
Black and gold. Here we go.
Here we go.
Now you're back.
See, I'm back.
It's all about quarterbacks from here on out, guys. Number three, is it Mr. Daniels or Mr. May that goes to Washington? I know you love movies, David. I kind of did that one for you. Who's it going to be at number two? Who is it going to be? Is it Jaden Daniels, who came out of nowhere this past season, kind of a one-hit wonder? Or is it Drake May, who didn't play as well this year, but everyone says has the tools to be, you know, a Herbert, Phillip Rivers, a Ben Roethlisberger kind of combo? Number two, how high is J.J. McCarthy going to go? I still can't believe that this dude is, like, rising. I saw something yesterday that Elliot Wolf, the Patriots guy's running the show there, he's, like, the scuttlebutt of the pro day circuit was that the Patriots love McCarthy at number three. No! No! This guy's Zach Wilson written all over him, right, David?
Oh, that can't be good.
Stop.
But Woody Johnson loves him.
That can't be good. Number one. It's all about me, TJ. This is my list.
I mean, you made it.
What are the Patriots going to do at number three? Take a quarterback or trade down? It depends what day it is on how I feel about this.
Well, today being Thursday.
Today is Thursday? Yeah. Let's take Drake May. Let's do it. Let's rock and roll. Okay. Tomorrow it might be trade down, take a haul.
So I'm going to ask you
get
on
three
Friday.
Or four first round picks and then rebuild your team.
What a great executive you'd be.
They stink, David. This team is brutal. They have no good players.
Well, I mean, you got it.
They have a couple good players.
They have a couple good.
Do you not have enough rings?
No.
No, he acts like he's never won a
ring. I can't even look at him.
David, yeah. There are four-year-olds here in Boston who don't know what it's like to celebrate a duck boat parade. All right? Think about the kids.
That's kind of unacceptable,
the
though.
The duck really. Boats that might not even start up
at he's this got, point. I hate to agree, but he's got a point.
The duck boats might not even start up at this point.
It's
5 years it's since travesty. Our last parade. It's a travesty.
Thank God you got the Celtics.
Jeez.
And the Bruins.
Don't even get them started on the Celtics.
If we don't win the title this year, I might quit being a fan.
Oh,
you're going to say quit this show.
No, he won't do that.
Never do that. It puts a roof over my head.
He's got solar panels, bro.
You can't kill the Golden Goose.
10-year contract.
I know he's on vacation. I can't kill him. All right, that's Brockman's Burning Questions, presented by NHTSA. Use your phone while you're driving. It could kill someone, people. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
That's a great message.
That's it. Put the phone away, man. Yeah. I don't care if you're in traffic or not. Don't text and drive.
I don't have the one that gives the message saying, I'm driving now, so I can't respond to your text message.
I mean, you can do that.
I just don't respond.
Yeah, you just
but you can put that on.
But I no, but I like to let people think I'm driving when I'm not driving. That's the reason I don't respond. So I can't have the automatic one.
You can keep it on all the time.
Yeah, you keep it on all the time.
Man, you certainly drive a lot, Samson.
You're driving.
You're always in the car when I'm trying to get to you.
Who drives that much in New York City?
Samson's posted up on the couch watching Succession with his phone next to him.
Do you own a car?
I do.
So you're one of the New Yorkers who owns a car?
There's many. The garages are packed.
Yeah,
so,
they're
I mean, that's
full.
Fake
they're
news.
Yeah. They're full.
Isn't that all tourists?
No. A parking spot in New York is big money.
Dave, do you live
and,
in...
Oh, by the way...
What do you need a car for? You live in the city.
You got to go to leave. If you got to go to New Jersey or Connecticut or something, you need a car.
Right. I mean, do you live in Manhattan? Not to like narrow it down, but...
No, I live in Manhattan, but I also am lucky enough to have a place in Long Island.
Okay.
So Long Island drive back and forth.
Makes a lot more sense. Manhattan, just the store car has to be as expensive as the rent.
By the way, LIE is no joke either. And if your kids,
I would never text and drive on the 495.
Yeah.
Because that...
Yeah.
A sure way.
Let's do it. Let's go to break.
All right.
Let's get a break. Those are the burning questions. The house is on fire.
That's it.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Philadelphia Eagles, we have that to talk about, too.
Yes, as I'm draped my Eagles paraphernalia.
Now, that's like you got, so you got the green hoodie.
Yeah, I went green hoodie, and then I went satin black jacket black eagle on it. This is subtle.
This is subtle.
I didn't want to come here and be, you know, blatant with it. This is a subtle.
Yeah, I didn't notice it. It's sort of like a watermark sort of situation that you have right
there.
But then
you get up close and you're like, whoa, he really is an Eagles fan. He's got a lot.
Yes.
He's got a lot of Eagles stuff on. I'm wearing a jersey to the Super Bowl with the Jerome Brown patch.
That's what you're going to do?
Yes. Okay. I got the Randall Cunningham jersey, but my jersey has a Jerome Brown patch.
Well, what will it say on the back? Will it say heart? Will it say your name?
No, say Cunningham. It's a real jersey.
Okay.
I can't make it say heart. I'm no longer authentic if I make it say heart. It's got to be a real jersey. This is a real moment.
Understand.
It's a big moment for me, man.
This is it.
It's a big game.
What do you think?
What do you mean, what do I think? The score's going to be 83-6. I called it. I put my prediction out there a long time ago.
Okay.
I had a dream. I saw it.
And how many how many touchdowns then for Nick Foles then out of that?
Nick Foles going to throw for 32 touchdowns. 32. It's going to be a grinding game, and Foles is going into this game with so much confidence. After the last game, he's got so much confidence. I don't care what you say, you can't beat confidence. You know how much confidence I have?
Yeah.
You can't beat my confidence. I don't care what you tell me. I'm so confident. I'm so confident. Foles has confidence. Our defense has confidence. We are here. This is where we said we would be in the beginning of the season, and we got here. That's confidence. They're used to being here. That's cocky. That's a little nonchalant, shoulder shrugging. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same type of confidence. It's not the same type of hunger. It's a different level of hunger. And these dogs got to eat. Get it? Because they was calling us underdogs.
Yes, I know.
It's really hard to relocate a team. I don't know if that's a new breaking news alert. Relocation's hard.
Hit the breaking news.
It takes some time. It takes some effort. It takes some lies.
It
takes some cheating, some stealing. Sort of.
A little underhandedness going on.
There has to be.
Okay.
Big announcement this morning. The Oakland A's are not going to play in Oakland next year.
Whack.
Shock the world.
Oof.
They are going to play in Sacramento. In a AAA stadium.
So are they going to be the Sacramento A's, or are they going to be the Vegas A's in Sacramento, like how the Anaheim
the
Angels
Vegas A's
used to
of
do it?
Sacramento?
That is a whole great story of the fight in baseball over that.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
I mean,
that's what they were called.
Yeah, I know.
That was awful.
They were forced to be called that. Now, you know, they're just the Los Angeles Angels.
Yeah.
Which, if you live here, Anaheim is nowhere near Los Angeles.
No.
So Anaheim wanted name, and it was part of a deal for some financing that they'd be known as the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. So in Major League Baseball owners meetings, I'm David Sampson filling in for Rich Eisen here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. And during owners meetings, when there's a vote taken, the secretary or the general counsel is taking the vote of the teams. And it goes in alphabetical order, and you change who has the first vote each time. So it's not always Atlanta,
That's cool. Okay.
So then the next vote, it's the next team, and then the next team is first. So you never know how people are going to vote, even though it's predetermined. And during the vote, it would be Los Angeles Dodgers. Sounds normal. New York Yankees. Everything's normal. And then Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And it would be this big mockery because, of course, Artie Moreno wanted no part of the Anaheim name.
Right.
He wanted to be only the Los Angeles Angels, feeling like there's more money in that. Not more victories, it appears. Just more money. And now the Oakland A's have announced that they're going to play in Sacramento. We don't know the name, but they're not going to be the Vegas A's. I promise you that. Because they don't want to start marketing that name during an interim period in Sacramento.
Okay.
So I'll eliminate Vegas A's.
Okay.
Hard to call them the Oakland A's.
Yeah, because, I mean, Oakland's going to be like, you left.
So what they could be called is the A's.
What about the California?
Leave it at that.
The California A's.
Like the California Angels?
Yeah.
They used to be the California Angels. Now we're going old school.
Yeah. That's what I said earlier. Yeah, the California A's.
They could be that. I think it'll be the A's.
Just the A's.
The way we're told to refer, we would get a list. Every team gets a list of how players want to be referred to, or nicknames, or executives, or teams. Sort of gives you a guide, like a pronunciation guide. And it could very well be that we're just going to say the A's, because that would make sense to me. Now, Sacramento is doing this because they want to show baseball we're a big league town. not just that Sacramento Kings. We can handle two teams. And so they're viewing this three-year interim period, and I would say interim for what, we don't know, because we have no guarantee that there's a new ballpark in Vegas for 2028. We don't know that for sure. We don't know if there'll be a new ballpark in Oakland for 2028, though that's not out of the question either. They could be in Sacramento for longer than 3 years, but they can never announce that because we could never give Vegas the opportunity to say, okay, we can slow play the deal. So there's a lot that goes into how these announcements are done. And it's no coincidence that it was done today after the A's had met with the Oakland mayor, who said, give me $97 million. And they said, see you later.
See you later.
I'd like to go to Sacramento now. I believe that they had a deal in Sacramento before they even met with Oakland. That would also be very common because they're still negotiating the TV deal. And with Oakland moving to Sacramento, they lose their Oakland TV deal, which makes other owners very unhappy because it leads to more revenue sharing. So they're negotiating to see what money they can get in Sacramento for their TV and how big the haircut would be for moving to Sacramento in this interim period. But either way, they had to leave the Coliseum. Our players used to hate the Coliseum.
Oh, places, it's, oh.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. David, tomorrow,
I did a game last year.
We're going to play a game called What's More Likely, where I throw two things at you and I ask you to pick which one is more likely. A little preview right now. Where are the Oakland A's playing in 2028? What's more likely? Sacramento, Las Vegas, or Oakland?
Whoa.
And I'm going to say Sacramento. It's a lot harder to build a building than you think. It requires a lot of money, a lot of agreements, and then a lot of things to go right to build a roof facility in a 34 to 36 month construction timeline. And on a side note, you better have good construction documents to do it. And we haven't seen anything out of Oakland yet or out of Vegas. We haven't seen documents. We saw some AI renderings. Yeah, those were good.
Nothing. Those were kind of cool. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do that too. You give a prompt.
Yeah.
So the whole renderings were rendered totally useless. But now there's new ones because they're blowing up the Tropicana and they're building Nirvana in Vegas on Tropicana Boulevard.
That's what we need. More construction on Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, exactly.
Well, F1 was an outrage. Were you there for F1? Anybody?
No, I was there the week before, and it was nuts. It was the streets.
Well,
the
Vegas residents hated it.
Yeah.
Look at how beautiful that building's going to be.
It does look beautiful.
I will go right now. If the game we're going to play tomorrow, but how about the game right now? The final ballpark, wherever it is, won't look like that. I can promise you that. We're very good. Oh, look, that's the one in Sydney.
The Opera House.
How about them saying it doesn't look like the Sydney Opera House?
Who said
that? That's insane.
The actual designer said, yeah, you know, I wasn't even thinking of Sydney.
Oh. Sure you were.
What exactly were you thinking of?
Mike, the Sphere is losing money. Just play in the Sphere. Can they just figure it out how to play in that
Have you been
thing?
In the Sphere?
No. Can you play
in there? I've been in there. You can't fit a baseball
field in the Sphere.
You have to rip all the seats out.
People's necks would start hurting, too. Because the best seats are high up.
It would be a cool backdrop.
Yeah, I
can only tell you this. The Sphere, if you haven't done it, I would encourage you to do it.
Oh, it's cool as hell.
It's cool,
you can
right?
go with Stu Gatz with the Grateful Dead, Dead & Company.
Absolutely not.
I mean, that could be fun.
I'd like to remember, though.
It may lead to arrests. But it's going to be interesting watching what happens with the A's because the announcement today is just another step in what is the relocation or getting a new ballpark, which is really the step to expansion. That's the true goal of MLB is to get to 32 teams because the owners want to start paying back debt that they accrued during COVID. So a lot more to say on that.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there's the sneaker peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer, looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller, who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter, who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, Rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.